Good day, everybody. I will call the CROG Transportation Committee meeting for Monday, May 20, 2024 to order. And are we doing the roll call still electronically or are we going to do it?
Yep, we can still get it off of Zoom.
Okay. Then we'll move on to item number two, which is our public forum. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to address the committee? Again, is there anyone from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? One more time. Anyone from the public that wishes to address the Transportation Committee at this time? Seeing none and hearing none, I'll move on to item number three, which is adoption of the minutes of our meeting that we held on April 22, 2024. And I'd entertain a motion to so do.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Second, Steve Soplak.
Thank you, Steve. Any corrections, deletions,
additions recording
to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions. Again, anyone who's abstaining, please indicate your name and town.
Dylan Riley, town of Farmington.
Chris Savidio, town of Newington, wasn't present.
Any others? Karen, I'll abstain as well. I was not in attendance. John Coleman, Bloomfield.
Thanks, John. I got it.
The minutes are adopted as distributed. Staff reports. Roger, 60 seconds for safety.
Okay, thank you, John. So a quick update on our SS4A funded project to update our regional transportation safety plan. We do have a CROG Vision Zero task force formed. We had a meeting on April 25th. We briefly talked about had some discussion about a 15-year target goal for zero fatal crashes. We'll have more discussion at our next meeting on June 18th. We do have a full component of 15 members on our committee. It includes law enforcement and some of our transportation committee representatives from Hartford, Owen, Deutsch, and Southington, Annette, and Andover, Eric, and West Hartford, Greg Summer. We are working with our consultant now, Selected. We have selected FHI Studio as our selected consultant. We're working to get a scope and then an agreement with them. Our draft scope includes some of the major components that we hope to get done, our plan to get done, is an updated crash analysis, engagement with towns, with public, with various stakeholder groups, and then address various safety strategies and project selections. And then a final product is preparing a regional transportation safety action plan document. So if people have thoughts, concerns, ideas on how we move forward, we'll certainly be reaching out to people going forward, but we are scoping that out and getting them on board soon. So that's a quick update. Thanks.
Thank you, Roger. Any questions for Roger? Moving along, Elizabeth.
Yes, thank you, John. Hello, everybody. Wanted to share this quick slide showing some of the highlights from the funding opportunities newsletter. Hopefully all are receiving this so that we can better track the grants that are coming out and that are available. A lot of them are related to transportation projects. And there's a QR code here, a link. I'll drop a link in the chat too. We also have a new sign up button so that if you are not receiving the newsletters, now you can click on that sign up link, that orange box once I send out the link, or if you're able to upload it now, and you can sign up for both the CROG Connection newsletter as well as this funding newsletter right through that link. And if you have questions, as always, on anything in the newsletter, You can reach out to me. If somebody is somebody else is identified, you can of course reach out to them as well. But you know, I can direct you to that person too, depending on what the ask is. So if you go on to the next, I'll just highlight a couple of items. We have selected a date for a stormwater management workshop. This will be an in-person review and a great opportunity to hear from experts in the field as to what some of the new practices are, sustainable practices, and somewhat not new, rebranded or whatnot, and then learn about some how we can get funding for these. So this is going to be a great opportunity. Hopefully everyone can make it that Friday, May 31st. It will be 10:30 in the morning and will include a lunch at no cost to attendees. And there's more information in the newsletter, QR code here. And I'm happy to answer any questions. We're asking that with the holiday coming up, if you could register by this Friday, May 24th, that would be very helpful so that we can coordinate the lunches. So I look forward to seeing you all in person there. And the next slide will just give some brief highlights of some of the grants that were featured in the newsletter. Just a shout about Safe Streets and Roads for All. We did have two deadlines pass, but there is still one more for August 29th. And we are accepting your requests for letters of support from Connecticut DOT. We are able to accept those until August 2nd. So if it's something that you're considering applying for, keep that internal date in mind so that we can process your requests with Connecticut DOT and get letters of support ready for that. And then if you're not sure if your project is eligible for SS4A, this is for planning and demonstration grants only is the last deadline. So the implementation grants were due last Thursday, and we don't anticipate another round of those until next year. But, you know, there's still opportunities for planning and demonstration grants. Then just reach out to me and happy to review your projects. Also, the state DECD announced the Community Investment Fund. I know this is a big program for a lot of towns. Those applications are due June 24th. 21st. Also wanted to mention the Bridge Investment Program. This is a rolling basis applications. So we know the schedule for that USDOT has set out for the next few years of this program. So the next deadlines for large bridges, and those are over 100 million, is August 1st. Planning grants applications are due October 1st. And then bridge projects, which are under the $100 million, are November 1st. So CROG, we have our link to the interactive map that helps if you're not sure if you have a project that is on that National Bridge Inventory list that would be eligible for this program. You can check out our map there. And also feel free to contact us here to help you. These opportunities are coming in pretty fast. So SMART grant, I did not get that into the newsletter, but that's the Strengthening Mobility and Revolutionizing Transportation SMART program. And the applications are for the stage one planning and prototyping grants. So not the build construction, but you need a planning and prototyping grant in order to apply for the stage two. So if you are interested in learning more about that program, feel free to reach out. We had some on our BIL webpage, had some information about that from previous rounds, and that's July 12th. And there's a link here to information about that program. Also wanted to take a quick minute to talk about the Federal Railroad Administration. There's two programs that are currently out now. One I featured last month, the CRISI, and then the second that just came out earlier last week was focused solely on the Northeast Corridor. And I'll just mention that for CRISI, we did hear from Connecticut DOT that they are going to be seeking to apply for some work on the Hartford line. And we don't have a lot of information other than, you know, Hartford line rehabilitation and improvements, But so hopefully we will be able to reach out with the towns that are going to be affected by that grant to coordinate some support. So that's great news. And that's all I have for you today. So please feel free to reach out with questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Any questions for Elizabeth? Thanks again. Kara, you've got the next two, commuter parking lot utilization and the TAP program update.
Yep. Thanks, John. So first up, we were out in April doing our twice yearly utilization counts in all the commuter parking lots in the region. We were a little disappointed to see a little bit of a dip this year after seeing kind of incremental increases since spring of 22 coming out of COVID. It's not a huge change. We also did have one lot go away between the fall and now that's no longer being used as a park and ride lot, so that accounted for part of it. But yeah, it's seeming that kind of right around 1,000 cars seems to be kind of the new standard, give or take, which is half of what kind of the pre-COVID average was. But we'll be back out in October to see if this was a blip or not.
Any questions on that, folks? Thanks, Kara.
Yep. Tap. And then moving on to the TA Transportation Alternative Program update. So the deadline for applications for funding under this program was last week, and we've received 7 applications from towns. We are reviewing those proposals. Applicants will be notified of their shortlist status by the end of this week. And then as a reminder, there's going to be a special transportation committee meeting to rank the projects, which will be held on June 10th at 10 a.m. There was an Outlook link for that meeting in the mailing for this month's meeting, but we'll be sending out an additional one as well. But we encourage as many TC members as are available to attend that meeting, even if you are not an applicant, so that you can hear the proposals and then rank them for submission to DOT.
Thank you, Kara. Any questions? Rob, potential on-call traffic services RFQ?
Yeah, hi. We are exploring putting out an RFQ for traffic engineering consultant on-call services. And right now we are envisioning an RFQ that would select one on-call consultant for general traffic engineering, which is number 2 here on the list, and one for automated traffic enforcement safety devices. As you know, this has recently become an eligible activity in Connecticut that we can install these automated traffic enforcement safety devices, but there are rules to the game. One of them being submitting to OSTA a plan, which has a lot of engineering analysis included in it. This would be going out for a qualified consultant, selecting them for an on-call list for someone who's qualified to do that type of work for towns. So it would really just be, doing that procurement process for towns, both for that. When we reached out to some of the towns that are thinking of putting out automated traffic enforcement safety devices, they also indicated the need for number 2, just general traffic engineering services. So we decided that it might be good to go out for two on-call consultants, one for each of these services. So what we're looking to do is we are bringing this to our municipal services committee soon for their input, but I'd also like input from the transportation committee to see if there's any comments on this, if there's anything that should be included in this RFQ, should not be included, any thoughts on this RFQ and us doing this, providing this service.
Thanks, Rob. Comments? Folks, what do you think?
Rob, Dan Pennington, Town of Glastonbury here. I would support CROG going forward, as you described. There's a myriad of relatively small-scale traffic engineering-related services that we here in Glastonbury anyway, have a frequent need for. And having a frog process available to us negates a time-consuming process on our end on an individual project basis. So I would support that, at least the general traffic engineering portion of what you're suggesting.
Thank you, Dan. Any other comments?
This is Mark Moriarty for New Britain. Do you think that you're going to select one consultant or you're going to select a few? Any idea?
I was thinking of one for each of these, and the rationale being I don't know how many towns will go after at least number one, item one here. And I thought it'd be more enticing for a consultant if they were the only one on the list. Number one especially is pretty narrow focused. Maybe we could do one for number one and two for number two. I don't know. Whatever. But we're open to suggestions on what you think might be best.
Yeah, I think I agree with you with number two. Maybe that would make sense just in case, because traffic engineering departments tend to be small at some consulting firms. So if they did have a lot of work going on and you needed something addressed really quickly, it probably would make sense to have a couple on
okay.
The select from.
Great. Good suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah, Rob, I agree with that. I mean, I can see some real need. There's been a couple times where we've kind of struggled to find somebody to do some traffic engineering specifically related to zoning applications where we needed to understand the implications. And having somebody already set up on call would be very beneficial to us anyway.
Right.
Rob, I might have missed this, but is there would be a charge to the community for the service, correct?
Yeah, this would just be an on-call that would bypass your procurement process, and it'd be up to the town to contract with any of these firms. But
okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Great.
Any more comments, suggestions? Well, I would move ahead with it, Rob, particularly on two.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Kyle, you're going to talk to us about the regional warehousing land use and traffic study, RFQ?
Yeah, thanks, John. Just a real quick FYI. We actually posted the RFQ for a regional warehousing study last Friday. It closes June 14th, excuse me, Friday the 14th. So we'll probably have a consultant on board July-ish, August-ish. Just want to let you guys know the study will look at economic analysis, land use considerations, and traffic analysis. So if any of you have done site plan review on these warehousing developments and want a little more help with some empirical data, that'll be part of this plan. If you'd like to be involved in the project committee or just an interested parties list, involved in the study otherwise, just please reach out and I'd be happy to keep you in the loop going forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Kyle. Any questions? All right, we'll move on to number five, TIP amendments. Rob?
Yeah, thanks. Nothing too controversial this month, pretty standard. The first one being a transportation alternative set aside. A selection that we selected about 4 years ago, being in Simsbury. This is a trail project and excited to see this going to construction soon. This does move it from 2024 to 2025. And in the comments, you'll see it says to FYI, but that's only because this TIP can only have items through 2024 on it. But in their backup, they did say it would go to 2025 just due to where it is in the design process. I think you've experienced this before. There's a lot of these moving to FYI. The reason for it is that there is no buffer year this year, no overlap year between the two TIPs. So these will go to FYI, and we'll have some items later in this packet in this meeting today related to the new TIP. The new TIP goes into effect in October, and then you'll see a flood of these amendments come back to put these that went to FYI into a federal fiscal year. So it's going to be busy with these FYIs, and then other ones that put them in the, into the new TIP after the new TIP is in effect. So it's a little bit of an unusual process this time around. The item two and three are STP Anywhere. We're always happy to get anywhere funding in our region because it can be used anywhere in the state. This is for traffic signals at various locations. Two of the locations, I do have the locations in District 4. I don't have the locations in District 2, although I believe they were provided at the design phase when that went into the TIP. The ones that in District 4 is East Granby, Route 187 at Seymour Road, and then Farmington, Route 6 at Waterside Drive. And then our last one is a discretionary grant that actually CROG obtained for replacement and repair of an EV station in Hartford. And so that's a discretionary grant application that we were awarded. So nothing too controversial. We'd appreciate a movement to approve.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions? Seeing none, hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the TIPs as presented.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Chris Edge, second.
Thank you, sir. Any further discussion? Seeing none, hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? TIP amendments are approved as presented. Premod, resolution on the Route 20 Transportation and Land Use Final Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your package, included in your TIP package, the TC package, you'll find a resolution authorizing Transportation Committee endorsing Route 20 Transportation Land Use Final Report. I was here in April, March, actually, to talk about the draft report that was completed and then up for public comment. The public comments period ended without any additional comments. And after that, we presented the final report, still draft final report, to the town Board of Selectmen, and they adopted and accepted the report in their May meeting. So with that, the rest of the process is at CROG. So the report has been completed, as I mentioned, with lots of good, you know, improvement recommendations for Route 75 route and Old County Road in Windsor Locks. So at this time, I request that the Transportation Committee consider endorsing the report and then forwarding to Policy Board for adoption of the report. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Pramod. Any questions? Hearing none, seeing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the resolution.
Patrice Carson, so moved. Oh, I'll second.
Doug Wilson.
Thank you both. Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Also unanimous. Kara, you've got the next four.
I sure do, John. And the next three, 7, 8, and 9, are all related. And Rob touched on it a little bit. So the first one is we had shared previously the draft of the TIP for federal fiscal years 25 to 28. This resolution is to endorse that draft to the Policy Board for their approval. We did have a public comment period and some public meetings. The only comment we received was one that was kind of encouraging us to continue our focus on bike ped spending. So it wasn't necessarily specific to a project, but just general to our transportation program. Didn't require any changes to the document itself. So I would request, if anyone has any other questions, otherwise looking for endorsement by this group of the TIP.
Thank you, Claire. Any questions, comments? Again, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Actually, I'll make a motion to approve the resolution. And I don't know, do you need to and to send it to the policy board
for an endorsement? I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Thank you, Patrice.
I'll second it.
No worries.
Eric Anderson, Town of Andover.
Thank you.
All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion's passed as presented. Okay. Conformity to the Clean Air Act.
Yep. So anytime we pass a tip, we need to, as the MPO, kind of confirm that it is compliant with the Clean Air Act. The way that we do this in Connecticut is that DOT runs the air quality conformity analysis for kind of all the tips together within a given conformity or non-conformity area. We, as the Capital Region, are within the non-attainment area for ozone, the Greater Connecticut area. But DOT's analysis showed that we are within our emissions budget. All of the projects within the TIP are within the emissions budget, and we are therefore compliant. So this is a resolution stating that fact.
Thank you, Kara. Any questions on that? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the resolution as presented.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. And a second.
Eric Anderson, second.
Thank you, Eric. Any further discussion? Hearing none, seeing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion, the resolution is approved as presented. And our favorite one of the year, authorizing us to act. Or did I miss one?
You missed one. This is the,
sorry, yeah. I jumped one.
No problem. This one's pretty good too, though. So this is our annual certification that we are compliant with all of the federal regulations as the MPO. And the only difference between this year's and last year's, you'll see there's the new date for the TIP. That's dated for Wednesday, assuming that the policy board passes the TIP. They would then also pass this, just confirming that our transportation planning program is fully compliant with the relevant federal regs.
And we're self-certifying, right?
Yes, and we have to every year.
Every, right. Any questions on self-certifying? Not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved, Patrice Carson.
Thank you, Patrice. And a second.
Where are you, Eric?
Eric Anderson, second.
Thank you, Eric. Any further discussion? All those in favor of self-certifying, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution is passed as presented. We are self-certified. Now we get to act on the resolution designating us to act as the policy board. We only get to do it once this year.
I know. So that's the only real difference between this one and previous years is that policy board is meeting in June this year. Historically, they haven't, but that's a change for 2024. So this authorizes TC to act on behalf of the policy board in July and theoretically in August, but we generally don't have meetings in August. So July.
And be informed that I will not be present for the July meeting. So hopefully Patrice will be available.
I'll be here.
I'm sorry.
I'll move the resolution.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Yeah.
I'll second. Eric Anderson.
Thank you, Eric. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Did you want to say something?
Get that for you.
Say again?
Yep. All right.
I think he's on the phone.
Okay. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're all set to be the policy board in July.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Kara. Okay. Item number 11 is a presentation on the Safety Circuit Rider Program by Jason Hughes, who is the Safety Technical Associate at the 2C Center. Jason, the floor is yours.
Well, I thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I hope you can all hear me. Do I have somebody have my presentation up there, or will I be sharing it? Ah, there we go. So let me introduce myself. Obviously, a lot of you know my teammates here. Melissa Evans, she's a safety certified rider. I am the safety technical associate, like you said. And Lisa Knight is our educational program coordinator. I'll just tell you a little quick story about me. I know a lot of your members here as I checked the list of participants. So some of you might have already heard this, but hopefully it's new to some of you. My background is 23 years in law enforcement. 20 of those years, the last 20 before coming to T2, I spent in Farmington where I was a detective. The last 12 years as a crash reconstructionist with the North Central Municipal Accident Reconstruction Squad, where I responded to serious and fatal injuries in 9 towns. That's where I get my desire to help prevent crashes. So if you can go to the next slide. This is our SCR program distribution map. Melissa, prior to me coming, Melissa covered the entire state, which her being in Greenwich was kind of tough when she had to make trips out to the northeastern part of the state. So now I'm covering half. You'll see a line there. It mostly catches all the cogs, so we try to keep it that way. We call it the Melissa Jason line. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, you know, who you reach out to. It's me or Melissa. It'll get to the right people, and obviously we can both help you. So the next slide, please. This is just a small idea of things that we can do to help you folks and your municipalities. RSA is on local roads, obviously, like that is shown there. We do a lot of help with the crash data repository. And then when it gets a little too much to handle, like one of the recent asks, we bring in our pros at the Connecticut Transportation Safety Research Center with Dr. Jackson. So you'll see that as well. There's a ton of training classes. We develop technical resources as well, road safety briefs, which I'll talk about real quick in a minute. You'll see coffee and conversations, hot topic roundtables, where we recently had one regarding SS4A grant applications with Dr. Jackson and how his team can support municipalities and COGS when they're going for those grants. So that we have all that stuff. Next slide. This is kind of like one of our big ones. This is our free equipment loan program. We recently found with a lot of new grant applications, especially with SS4A, we've had a lot more requests for our equipment, including our speed feedback signs and our radar traffic counters. So Donna was kind and got us 4 more of each. So now we have a pretty robust inventory of these signs and traffic counters. Which as of right now, we don't have any in our office because they're all out there collecting data. So that's a good thing. Obviously, there are other things too, like sign retroreflectometers and pavement retroreflectometers. With all the new METCD guidelines coming out, that's going to become more and more important. So, and again, this is one of those things where we take pride in being able to get these things out to municipalities. And I know a lot of COGS have them as well. So the more that's out there, the better. It's less stuff that the towns have to spend their limited budgets on. So next slide, please. This is how we promote safety. You'll see our technical safety briefs here. We actually rebranded now the road safety briefs. You also see a Safety Matters article that we write. So we look at certain things and figure out exactly what do we need? What are people telling us? And then we try and get it out there as soon as possible. The one with driver responsibility at traffic control signals, you'll see that came up in a roundtable where a lot of people hadn't realized that it was actually a public act. So now we get that out there, and municipalities and people can share them out to their members. With regards to the Safety Matters article, with our monthly newsletter, we put out these Safety Matters, Melissa and I. This month, obviously, it's May, so it's Bicycle Safety Month, and it should be focused on that this month. So next slide, please. Again, training is a big thing for us. We are the technical assistance and training center for everyone. So this is some of the things that we do this year. We have a lot of classes. We have ADA self-assessment and transition plans last month in Bristol, which was taught by Melissa. Coming up in Cheshire, the end of this month on the 29th, we have an Innovate Intersections, which is taught by the folks at Federal Highway, Mark Doctor, and I think it's Elliot. They're coming in. These are great classes. Melissa and I have two sign installation maintenance classes that are coming. And then we have an RSA class in Fairfield on June 6th. So again, every year it changes, but we try to bring in the best instructors. If it's not Melissa or I, it's people from Federal Highway that are coming in, and this training's always real sought after. So just not, again, one of the other things that we do. Next slide, please. Big thing that we're really proud of at our place is our Connecticut Safety Examples Repository. I know a couple of the members, participants here in the thing have been to our recent LTA 101 class where we spoke about this. It's our big thing. It showcases all the great work that local municipalities are doing. And a lot of times you'll see them that they're linked by countermeasure, by the town itself, or an Everyday Counts initiative. It lets people see, hey, listen, I'm thinking about doing this. Is there a town in here that's done something similar? Because not every city, you know, and every town is the same, you know, from different municipalities in the northeastern corner to, you know, big cities like Hartford or New Bern, there's quite a difference. So it allows people to see, hey, this is happening in a town that's similar to me. So I can possibly reach out to the folks who did this in their town and, you know, look at what they're doing and make those contacts. So we're really big on that. So next slide. This is us. Let us help. Melissa and I and Lisa love coming out, love helping, doing everything we can. We love hearing what other folks are trying to do, you know, what questions they have, how we can assist them in bringing classes and bring programs so that, you know, we can reach out to every municipality in the state. That's kind of one of my projects is to just talk to everybody, get our equipment, get our training out to, you know, every 169 municipalities throughout the state. We want to hit them. So the next slide, we'll have my contact information and Melissa's, you know, and if anybody has any questions, I will be glad to answer them.
Thank you, Jason. Any questions, folks? Appreciate the presentation.
Awesome. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Other business, Rob or Kara?
Nope, nothing else. Just again, a reminder on that special meeting on June 10th, which will be virtual. And then our next regular meeting is the 24th of June, and that will be hybrid.
Kara, what time is the meeting on June 10th?
10 a.m.
Thank you.
Again, we anticipate it'll be 10 to 12.
Any other comments by any members of the committee? If not, thank you very much, staff, and thank you, members of the committee. Have a great week. Have a great great, safe, and enjoyable holiday. And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Dave Smith.
Thank you, Dave. Is there a second?
Rob Trottier, second.
Thank you, Rob. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We stand adjourned. Be well and be safe, everybody.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.